Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is a special edition. News 102.3 Tulsa's 24-hour news, weather, and traffic. And the home of the three big things you need to know. Listen on air, online at KRMG.com and on the KRMG app. The KRMG Morning News 8 a.m. in-depth hour starts now.
Good morning, 8 o'clock. Partly to mostly cloudy, 42 degrees in Tulsa. A sunny, beautiful Friday ahead of us. 66 for a high this afternoon. It'll be sunny and get up to 71 tomorrow before the chance of showers and storms kicks in, along with a cold front. And Easter's going to be really chilly. We tell you the three big things you need to know every 15 minutes on the KRMT Morning News with Dan Potter, number three. While you were sleeping, a Tulsa woman was stealing a police car. Cops tell us 36-year-old Angie Frost was stopped for driving a stolen vehicle on Memorial. While she was handcuffed in the front of the squad car, she got her hands in front of her, wiggled over into the driver's seat, and drove off. They found her not far away at a motel. Number two. Happening today, we hope to hear more from school districts about whether they'll be shut down on Monday. We know Tulsa and Owosso will, but we're still waiting to hear from several districts, including Broken Arrow, Union, and Jinx. Thousands of Oklahoma teachers are expected to walk off the job Monday despite being given a substantial pay raise by state lawmakers. And number one, our top story on the KRMG Morning News with Dan Potter, a KRMG 8 a.m. in-depth hour, as we take a close look at what kind of spring that we expect in Tulsa and across Oklahoma. In the next hour, we'll look back on the tornado that tore across Midtown Tulsa last year.
Power line across Memorial laying down, as well as a piece of block, like out cinder block out in the street.
Came to 46 in Memorial, saw the damage, and as I was driving onto 46 from Memorial, I heard that sign come crashing down. Tornadoes in August, it's really bizarre weather.
We'll remember the twister that hit Owosso exactly 2 years ago today.
It's not quite on the ground. There the tail goes, and it's just going to be near some power lines. It is now on the ground here, and I'm looking square at it. Square at it. It's going to be moving a little bit to the east.
And the one that flattened parts of Sand Springs 3 years ago this week.
The roof came off, and the walls came down, and it came up, and it started to turn a little. And we were just thinking, you know, here we go. Like a surreal feeling because it's so dark, and then everybody just saw light. That's all, everybody has the same description about it.
Over the next hour, we're also going to learn how to fight an irrational fear of spring storms. We'll find out the best place in your home to take shelter from the storm, and we'll also have your weather questions answered. We have our meteorologists ready to go. You can give us your questions about spring weather by open mic on the KRMG app or by text at 95920. Fox 23 and KRMG Chief Meteorologist James Adelot is our guest for the hour. We'll speak with him in a moment. But first, Rick and I stopped by the National Weather Service office in Tulsa earlier this week and spoke with meteorologist in charge Steve Piltz and hydrologist Nicole McGavick to get their spring forecast. We began by asking Steve about the reports we're seeing that Tulsa could have more severe storms this year because the so-called dry line, the dry line that forms in front of big storm systems, is trending towards setting up farther to the east, closer to us.
That's what some of the rainfall patterns over the winter kind of suggest. It's been very dry to the west. We're getting our precipitation now, so that should mean that the dry line gets further east, but it's sort of like me baking a cake. All the ingredients can be there, but it still needs to come together correctly for it to actually really happen. So the odds may tip toward that, but it's still awful hard to know the exact facts.
Nicole?
Yeah, we've been seeing a lot more increase in rainfall and moisture as we've come out of winter and are moving into the springtime. So I'm going to be really paying attention to, you know, the flooding concerns. Now that we've had a lot of wetness lately, you know, we're going to have to be more mindful of river flooding, flash flooding as we go into the spring.
You know, having said that, though, tornado warnings in January. I know it can happen, but it's unusual. Tornadoes last August, severe thunderstorm warnings in February. Things seem to be moving. Is it more scattered than it has been?
Well, the August event was like the first time in 50 years we've had a tornado anywhere in this area in the month of August. So that was different. But it's still hard to put all these things together into a pattern because the weather has been unusual over the decades. And you just see one little slice of time. And it's kind of hard to pull the strings together. But that said, we've been in this cycle. We've had dry winters and then very wet springs. And so we have seen that. That has led to some patterns that have helped fires. You know, that you grow the vegetation in the wet season and you dry it off in the winter. All that kind of ties together. But again, it's still hard to say if there's a true pattern one way or the other.
What new tools do you have to help forecast?
We have just increasing computer power every year. There's more ability to crunch numbers. And as the research folks try to model and figure out exactly how these storms work, we can run additional models, we can look at things. And so each year we get a little bit better with that. The biggest thing that probably made news headlines was the new satellite. It's basically jumping from television to HD television. We see things being clearer and we see it much more often.
How will that help you?
We're really with some of the parts we don't know yet. We're going to be able to scan storms and see lightning within storms faster than even the radar can scan a complete storm. So that adds a whole different dimension to this. Now, of course, we're only seeing just kind of the outer shell of the storm with the satellite, but still we may see things in the cloud tops. We may see the geometry change that signals something in the future. So there's a big learning opportunity here as we look at this new data.
We're coming up to the 5-year anniversary of Moore. What do you remember about that storm?
Just how instantly we knew how bad it was. The initial reports were worse than I'd ever heard any initial reports being, and they lived up to everything that was said. And that was just, normally that doesn't happen. Normally you hear things and you see the pictures like, well, it could have been worse. That was as bad as it was going to be.
Are you kind of surprised that this week, with all the instability, that we haven't had severe weather this way? I mean, we haven't had much. There have been a couple of storms that have reached that level, but it certainly hasn't been as bad as it could have been.
That's true. And it's just how all the ingredients come together. The Gulf of Mexico is warm, so you would think in theory we should be able to get a lot of Gulf humidity up here pretty quickly. We have a wind pattern setting up in the upper atmosphere that's bringing storm systems across, but it's still not perfectly together yet. There's still been kind of flaws in the setup, and that's what we're waiting to see now. Does the pattern finally get into what we think is typical Oklahoma setup? And if it does, then we do have all the ingredients in place to make some pretty rough storms.
Probably a good time to ask Nicole about La Nina El Nino. Where are we, and how's it set up?
Well, the La Nina is starting to wane, so it's going away, and we're expecting it to really be gone as we go further into the spring. And so because of that, we're not going to have that influence to help us kind of tip the scales one way or the other as we go through the spring. So the good thing is, over the winter, you know, the La Nina really, I think, impacted us for the dryness, how dry it was. That's kind of a typical thing we can see during La Nina. And so as we're moving out of that, then, you know, we're going to get that moisture return and have more availability probably of having the precipitation, the storm systems, the storm track coming back this way again.
You know, Steve noticed last time you were at our place that you did a lot of studying way back, and you took little slices of things. What did you learn when you started doing that, especially when it comes to what you do in hydrology and flooding and rivers and lakes?
It was interesting just to see the precipitation patterns and how those can change with the La Nina patterns. But I noticed it most during the winter time, which is kind of the drier time of the year anyway. And so as we moved into the springtime, there was less of a signal that we were seeing. So it kind of was a little bit harder to really determine. That's what everyone really wants to know about, you know, is are we going to have an enhanced severe weather season? And there's still, the jury's a little bit out on that, on really what could happen.
They really hedge their bets, don't they?
Well, you know, gosh.
Because we don't know.
Wouldn't you? I mean, right there. What's the hardest thing about predicting Oklahoma weather?
A lot of it is just how fast it changes. And sometimes it changes so quickly, you tend to want to underestimate the potential. So you see something there. And the other part, too, is that we see so much potential all the time. So if we overreacted to every little bit of potential that we saw, we could be strongly messaging lots of weather systems that pass by. So instead, we have to try to really be smart about picking the systems. This is the one we think could be the bad one. And that's really tough because we see so much through the spring. We'll have multiple times at the plate to see this kind of weather, and it's just which one are you going to swing at?
Not only is it severe weather season, increasingly it's becoming severe weather tourism season. What do you think of the folks that are spending a lot of money to hang out with storm chasers and to, you know, go all over, crawl all over Colorado, Oklahoma, Texas, hoping to see a tornado?
Well, you know, that really changed over the years. If you asked folks back in the 80s, they would have said that that's only a scientific endeavor, stay away. Now you see folks who used to be really against that actually helping in some of the tours that are out there. And so the mood has changed some, but still the danger is there because so many folks are out. and you just have, you run the risk of having a lot of folks trapped on a section line road and the tornado turns and they have nowhere to go.
Wasn't it just, was it last year that we had the auto accident that killed the tornado spotting crew?
Well, I think that's right. Yeah. And so, and it's, there were accidents last year on I-40. It just happens. And really a lot of it that we saw last year, the little bit that I was out, was people always wanting to stop at an overpass. So you think you're kind of doing 40, 45 in the rain, you're watching the storm, you're being careful, and then you have to start looking ahead, is there an overpass? Because guaranteed someone's going to stop there, and now we all slam on our brakes. And so those are things to watch.
Do you remember the first tornado you saw?
It was several years ago. We went up, it was in Kansas, and it was a really picturesque tornado that looked like kind of like the Wizard of Oz tornado. But we were quite a bit distance away because I was still a little bit nervous about getting too close to any of the storms. It was really neat to see. But at the same time, you know, we kind of knew what we were doing. We're meteorologists. We know what we're looking at, as opposed to just when I was little, you know, my dad would always whip out the video camera anytime there was a threat of tornadoes and we'd stand in the backyard. And, you know, that was a lot more dangerous, you know, to be doing it that way when you don't really know what you're looking at.
Your first?
Yeah, actually, the first in Oklahoma was in northern Tulsa County up by Collinsville on July 2nd, 1991. There wasn't a huge threat of tornadoes. It was almost an accident, but it was also very picturesque. It was sunlit behind it. It stayed mostly in the open, and so it was one of those things where it was there and took a lot of pictures and then ran away from it as it got a little too close.
I've seen three. Actually, the 74 tornado was happening as my dad and I were driving through town. The 82, I was standing on a hill watching it come down and hit the east at that movie theater. And then, you know, 2 years ago out in Owosso, when I watched that one come out of the ground or come out of the sky, the good news there was it all did was frighten cows. Now, it did bounce. That's the one that bounced over into Stone Canyon and did tear up the houses over there. But nothing like what you see post, like in Joplin or Moore.
When we've gone out actually with some objective. I have an interest in what's going on in the cloud base ahead of the tornado. There's some interesting radar signatures there that I think occasionally trick us into warnings that we don't need to issue. And if we could understand that wind pattern a little bit better, then we might be better at putting out tornado warnings. And so my camera sometimes is focused more ahead of the tornado. What's going on there?
What questions do you have that haven't been answered yet?
Well, just being able to, you know, have a better feel for if the storm is actually making the tornado or not. You know, we see a lot of these signatures or the structure of the storm that looks like, hey, this should do it. You know, all the ingredients are there and it doesn't. Or suddenly it just spins up and we're kind of like caught off guard, you know, like, oh, where did that come from? All of our ingredients weren't there that we didn't think they were. And so really getting down to being able to understand some of the finer scale parameters and ingredients and what's really going on to make that one storm make that tornado. You know, that's really where we need to learn more.
National Weather Service lead hydrologist Nicole McGavick and meteorologist in charge Steve Pilz speaking with me and with Rick Corey earlier this week at the National Weather Service office in Tulsa.
Power line across Memorial laying down, as well as a piece of block, like out cinder block out in the street.
Came to 46 in Memorial, saw the damage, and as I was driving onto 46 from Memorial, I heard that sign come crashing down. Tornadoes in August. It's really bizarre weather.
Yeah, it was bizarre last year in August when that tornado sliced through Midtown Tulsa. 8:19 on the KRMG Morning News with Dan Potter. 8 a.m. in-depth hour exploring this year's spring storm season. And we're joined by Fox 23 and KRMG Chief Meteorologist James Adelot. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, sir.
Thanks for being here so early this morning. Appreciate it.
A little early. You all get in depth early.
Yes, we do.
It's 8 o'clock, man. Come on.
We wake up and we start digging. So what kind of spring storm season are we going to have? Actually, we probably ought to answer that open mic question about, do you know statistically a weekend or a date during the spring when we've had a high probability of tornadoes?
The long-term averages point at the last 2 weeks of April and the first week of May being the stormiest three-week weather pattern of the year. Of course, every year adds variance to that. We always throw in the intangible of, is it a holiday, Memorial Day, or Easter weekend, of course?
It's going to happen.
That already puts us on alert, right?
Yeah,
it seems like the worst
weekend for spring weather is the weekend you plan to do something. That's pretty much how it goes, I guess. Statistically, though, it's those 3 weeks right around the end of April, the beginning of May. But as last year was evidence,
It can happen anytime, even August.
Yeah, and one thing I always like to say, and it's borrowed from a professor down in Norman at the University of Oklahoma in the National Severe Storms Lab, is that Mother Nature does not own an atlas, an alarm clock, or a calendar. Anytime you get the ingredients together in the right quantity, well, you could see severe weather and possibly tornadoes. And that August storm, we've gone back through and looked at the data in depth, and there were some clues that this was not a typical August event shaping up, and there we go.
So what do you learn from that, though? I mean, what is it you learned that you look at next time?
Well, that's kind of what points us to some of the analysis and how important it is to go deeper into some of that analysis, too, as what look like pretty benign situations roll our way, that, okay, well, what about this? And is this kind of giving us is this one parameter tweaked up just a little bit, giving us an indication we need to go a little deeper in analysis of this thing?
He was saying right before we went on that Monday, this Monday in Broken Arrow, nearly got to that level.
Really?
Yeah, we were watching as that line swept through, and the winds really picked up in the western part of Broken Arrow, and kind of west winds feeding into the leading edge of this storm as it marched toward the east. And I was looking at the radar thinking, I've seen this before a lot.
Hmm.
But all of the parameters, thankfully, were very weak. We're measuring the shear and turning of the winds as you go up in the atmosphere and the instability. And thankfully, they were weak because the storm tried to spin just a little bit. And as we look at all this radar data in such high resolution, we're a little unsure as how common it is to almost do something like that.
I want to get your take on this proposition that the dry line is setting up farther to the east this year, and that may, in the past, it's set up in western Oklahoma, and we would see Oklahoma City and Moore and Norman get these horrible storms, and they fall apart by the time they got here. Now it may be setting up farther to the east, and it may be really firing when it gets here. Is that right?
And if this scenario plays out, we'll see thunderstorms develop earlier in the day. So peak heating generated the thunderstorms on the dry line further west. If that dry line sets up further east, peak heating 3-4 o'clock, is that when we start seeing more of our thunderstorms boil up this year? And western Oklahoma is still incredibly dry, so there's a lot of credence, there's a lot of weight meteorologically in, is that dry line going to end up sort of setting up in central Oklahoma instead of on the Oklahoma-Texas border?
We've got a lot to talk about here, and coming up in the next half hour, do you know somebody who is not just afraid of storms, but irrationally afraid? Maybe a child, maybe a pet, maybe your spouse? James is going to tell us how to overcome those fears, or at least cope with them.
This is a special edition. News 102.3 Tulsa's 24-hour news, weather, and traffic. And the home of the three big things you need to know. Listen on air, online at KRMG.com, and on the KRMG app. The KRMG Morning News 8 a.m. in-depth hour starts now.
Good morning, 8:30. We have partly cloudy skies now, 42 degrees in Tulsa. Sunshine dominating the rest of the day. Beautiful, really. High of 66 this afternoon. We tell you the three big things you need to know every 15 minutes on the KRMG Morning News with Dan Potter, number three. New this morning, Tulsa cops announce a crackdown on people running orange lights. Officers from the Riverside and Gilcrease divisions will run the special op through the month of April. They're looking to give $250 tickets to people who gun it on a yellow light and get caught in the intersection when it goes red. Number two. Happening now, Governor Fallon signing into law last night the largest teacher pay raise in state history and a massive package of tax hikes to pay for the plan. The bill gives public school teachers raises between 15% and 18%, an average boost of $6,100 a year. Still, many educators plan to not be in class come Monday. Instead, they'll be at the state capitol demanding more money. Not for a bigger pay raise, but for public education in general. And number one. Our top story on the KRMG Morning News with Dan Potter. It's a KRMG 8 a.m. in-depth hour. We're looking ahead to the type of severe weather season the forecasters expect this year. It's a timely topic, too. The three-month period that traditionally brings Tulsa its worst spring weather begins this weekend. Today is also the two-year anniversary of the twister that struck Owosso in 2016, and this week marks 3 years since a tornado raked through Sand Springs. But we only have to go back, 7 months to recall the last tornado to hit Tulsa. That's the one that struck in Midtown in August of last year. And it's been a long recovery in that neighborhood, as Fox 23 and KRMG's Rick Marinon found out.
In the shadow of the heavily damaged Remington Tower, others are still cleaning up from the rare August tornado.
Oh my goodness.
A tornado that formed so fast that there wasn't even enough time to issue a tornado warning until it was almost over.
42nd Street has been a ghost town. Four of them that, or out of six, so four of them are completely gone in different locations.
Stephanie Lason owns Party Pro Rentals and Events near Sheridan and south of 41st Street. Her company was sitting in the EF2 tornado's path, but just like so many, she was thankful she and her employees were at home when the disaster blew in.
Two buildings were totally devastated, and severe roof damage and wall damage and yard damage.
For businesses, the cleanup process has been slower. At the beginning of March, Lason's warehouse and office building was just now getting its roof replaced.
You still have your deductibles to meet. You have your challenges with the insurance of what they want to replace versus perhaps what was included in your policy. And so we definitely have contractors that are on our side and working with the insurance company as well.
While there are some companies here who have been able to work around their damage, I'm also told by business owners who have stayed here that some companies had to move out and just couldn't wait any longer for help to come. I spoke with Stephanie just a couple of weeks after she opened her new showroom. You could still smell the fresh paint. She says she's thankful she had insurance and is ready for the next chapter of her growing business.
We're just very thankful that, a lot to be thankful for, right, that we were all asleep, that those streets were cleared, and that the building was empty, and that it was just product that can be replaced.
That report from Fox 23 and KRMG's Rick Marinon. Yes, we got awfully lucky with that tornado back in August. I drive by the Remington Tower all the time. I look at that thing, and I cannot believe they're going to refurbish it. It looks like it needs to be imploded and brought down. It really was badly damaged.
Well, there were damage on the outside. It looks to me like the building is still firm. I mean, I heard you say that engineering-wise it was. I'm just surprised it's taken so long. It's like they're deciding if they're going to sell it or what they're going to do with it.
And they had to wait for the leases to run out, get tenants out of there, get tenants' stuff out of there, I guess.
They let them out of their leases early. They had been trying to decide what to do for all that time and finally said, okay, you're free, you can go, and all the businesses officially left, and now it's going to be refurbished.
Fox 23 and KRMG Chief Meteorologist James Adelot is here. What do you recall? What lessons did you learn in August of last year about, tornadoes and Tulsa?
Well, oftentimes you see little subtle things. We kind of hinted at it a few minutes ago, but little subtle things, you get enough of those adding up, and all of a sudden you're pushing parameters up into that zone where shear is strong enough, instability is strong enough, and certainly the thunderstorms are strong enough. And when we watch the thunderstorms move into the metro from Osage and Pawnee County, they were not weakening like normal overnight August thunderstorms tend to do.
Of course, this was a tornado that formed before any warning got out. Do you foresee a time in your career or even in your lifetime in which we're going to be able to catch these all before they hit the ground?
You know, that's a problem we've largely solved on the big tornadoes. I think the stat I read was all of the tornadoes that were EF4 or EF5 in the last 5 years have been in tornado watches or tornado warnings. Mm. So the big tornadoes, we've solved that problem. People have plenty of alerts for that. In fact, if you look back 50 years, we were asking ourselves the same question. I wasn't, thankfully, but I mean, the science was asking itself the same question. Is, are we ever going to figure out how to forecast tornadoes? Well, we're solving that from the top down. It appears we've got the big ones largely solved. It's these spin-up tornadoes that happen quickly. Those are the ones. The mechanics are largely the same, but it happens faster, lower, and on a much smaller scale time-wise and storm structure-wise. So we got to be looking radar-wise right in the right part of the storm.
So is the answer to the question yes, you think it's possible?
I think it's possible, but probably not with the radar hardware and
that we have right now.
Yeah. Right.
Rick and Skyler both covered the Owosso and Sand Springs tornadoes. We mentioned Owosso was 2 years ago today. Sand Springs was 3 years ago this week. Mm-hmm. But what do you guys recall about those scenes?
Well, I think, first of all, in August, back to him and to Skyler, I was in Dallas coming home from vacation, and I just flipped on the KRMG app and thought, oh, I wonder what's happening there. And the first thing I hear is him talking about destroyed buildings, and my mind just is blown that it's August. You had to feel the same way.
Yeah, it was so weird because that one, like you said, Dan, there was no warning ahead of time. So I was asleep, and I woke up to the EAS alert, that crazy noise that it makes on your phone, and I went, uh-oh, time to go to work. And I think James and I might have been the first ones on the air. And so, I mean, I called into you and we were talking about things. And I was sitting at 41st and Yale. The road was blocked to the east. I had no idea what was east of Yale right there. At that time, it was still 2:30, 3 a.m.
Right.
When the sun came up a few hours later and I got back out there and realized, oh my gosh, this is where it hit. I was looking at a down pole and a streetlight just west. I mean, just a few blocks west of where it really took the brunt of it. So at the initial early overnight hours, I wasn't clear what we were going to be in for, but it was bad.
Yeah, we just had this running dialogue of, okay, hey, Skylar, I just heard this, and this is all on the air. Can you go right from there? No, I can't. The road's blocked.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, and when it comes to Sand Springs, the thing I remember about that is when I first got there, you know, we got in the studio that morning, and you said, hey, I need you to run out there. So I go to Sand Springs, and the first thing I thought is, oh, my God, this hit a trailer park. And it was. It was mostly a trailer park. And then I started finding survivors who were in a church that was housing them. And all these people wanted to tell their stories. And I found this little Scottish woman. And she was just mad. And I said, what are you mad at? She said, the people that made me leave my house. And then she said,
I won't be gone for 3 days. I can't leave my dogs for 3 days. I'm staying put. And I could have stayed put. I could have managed and managed a lot of tougher things than that.
Well, I don't know. Could she have managed? Her trailer was destroyed.
It was, and they weren't going to let her stay. They made her leave, but she was still mad. And I found a guy who said he got picked up and carried six trailers down as he was trying to run away, and the only reason he hit the ground again is a tree limb hit him.
I grabbed my dog and ran out to my fence, and by the time I got out there, the wind was so fierce it picked me up. My dog in my arms carried me six trailers down the street before it let me down. The only thing that let me down was I got hit in the head with a tree limb and hit me in the head.
And knocked him down to the ground.
Yep.
Wow.
It is devastating out there.
I forgot about that guy. It's understandable when you hear stories like this, and anybody who's witnessed a tornado or been through, had a bad experience with a storm, maybe been struck by lightning or caught in a bad hailstorm, that people would develop some very deep-seated fears about spring storms.
They certainly do, and a lot of it is justified. We've heard these stories from people, and one thing that people have to do in this age of incredible information is be very careful where you're getting information from. Social media makes it easy for people that don't know what they're talking about to spread alarmist messages just to almost get the attention. But we talked to not only a gentleman at the National Weather Service in Norman, but a psychologist in Tulsa about steps you can take to avoid some of this storm anxiety. Lightning and thunder, hail, or even a tornado. They can all be triggers for people whose fear of storms can be debilitating.
Well, I think everybody in Oklahoma has some level of storm anxiety.
So what causes storm anxiety?
Storm anxiety could be from an experience they had directly. It may be that they had a bad experience.
Weather experts like meteorologist Rick Smith at the National Weather Service say a certain level of anxiety is good if it leads to caution.
We want people to be afraid of storms. We want people to have a healthy fear of storms because storms can be dangerous.
And how do you know if you have storm anxiety?
I think people should look out for a tight feeling in their chest, if they're experiencing anxiety, if they're experiencing an elevated heart rate, if they're experiencing feelings of fright or terror.
But psychologist Dr. Blaine Gaddis says being fearful all the time can put you even more at risk.
If you're always on heightened alert, then it's less likely, actually, that when that one storm occurs that does impact you personally, that you're going to be able to think rationally and yet quickly.
To protect yourself, seek out information.
Look for your professionals. Look for the people who are not prematurely and unnecessarily sounding alarms.
And if you do need to take action,
just make sure that you're acting in ways that are prudent and safe.
I'm Fox 23 and News 102.3 KRMG Chief Meteorologist James Adelot.
Great advice.
We tell you the three big things you need to know every 15 minutes, all day. Now, back to the KRMG Morning News 8 a.m. In-Depth Hour on News 102.3 KRMG.
You can see the big funnel coming down out of the sky, and you can see the rotation, and it come down. I saw it touch down on the backside of the hazard condition across the street. And I could tell it was sort of tracking our way, so I told the kids and the wife, y'all go ahead and get in the shelter, get into the safe room, whatever. And I started watching it and making sure it was tracking this way. And sure enough, I mean, there's debris. I saw trampoline fly through the yard, all kind of stuff flying up every which way. And I went running back in the house then. It's time to go.
That's Michael Ellis describing the Owosso tornado that took place on this date 2 years ago, 2016. It's a KRMG 8 a.m. in-depth hour. We're with Fox 23 and KRMG Chief Meteorologist James Adelot and the entire crew here as we get ready for the severe storm season. April 1st, of course, is on Sunday, and we begin the 3 months where we see most, but not all, of the tornadoes that strike in Green Country. Fox 23 and KRMG's Michael Sager has been looking at where is the best place in your home or elsewhere to shelter when a severe storm's approaching.
You may wonder where there are some good places to take shelter in your home, especially if you do not have a storm shelter, or there's some places you can look for. The idea with taking shelter is away from outside walls and windows. You want to put as many walls between you and the outside as possible. Also, if you have an upstairs in your home, no shelter upstairs, lowest floor possible. Best place to take shelter, an interior room away from those outside walls and windows, preferably a closet or a bathroom, whatever is best in your home. Grab a helmet, put it on your head, protect your head. Football helmet, motorcycle helmet works. If by chance you live in a mobile home, make sure you have some neighbors or maybe friends and family where you can go to take shelter, as mobile homes are not safe during tornadoes.
Fox 23 and KRMG meteorologist Michael Sager. Out of mobile home communities will have a storm shelter in the center of the community for folks to use. My question, James Adelot, is what if you're out in your car and you appear to be in the path of a tornado?
The key is how much traffic and how much warning do you have?
Yeah.
In an immediate moment now, the National Weather Service and Red Cross recommending you just get low into the place under your dashboard as best you can.
Really,
now,
stay in the vehicle.
If it's upon you.
If it's upon
now,
you.
Okay. If you've got 30 seconds, get out of the vehicle, get in a culvert, any kind of store, any kind of well-built building is going to be better than your automobile. If you've got 5 minutes and traffic is much lighter, take a chance. I'd be trying to get out of the way of
get
the
out
path.
Of the path.
Right. But that time is critical, and the number of people trying to do that is critical too. The worst place you can be is in your car, but for some people, Joplin, for example, that didn't notice this was a tornado bearing down on them, it's on them before they even have a chance to open their car door.
Mm. Yeah, there were two instances in Joplin, because I was right there afterwards, too, where people got one baby got sucked out of its mother's arms. One young man, I think 17, coming back from his high school graduation with his father, was stuck through the roof of their car, through the moonroof.
What about if you're in a high-rise building or some other, say, at work or someplace like that?
And I think the Remington Tower gave us a good lesson in that August tornado. You want to be away from the outside. There's going to be a lot of window damage. Lowest level center part is your best plan, but in a steel engineered building, the center part, elevator areas, elevator lobbies, generally in pretty good shape if they're in the interior of the building.
Yeah, the reason I think of that is it was 18 years ago this past week when the tornado struck in downtown Fort Worth, Texas. In fact, the Texas delegation of the National Weather Service meteorologists were meeting on a top floor of one of the buildings in downtown Fort Worth when that tornado hit from the west and just tore up some of those high rises. And, you know, I have the picture in my head of all these meteorologists scrambling down the stairs of this 30-story building to get downstairs to get, somewhere safe. But a lot of high rises took it really hard in that storm.
Yeah, and it was a miracle that more people weren't killed by falling glass from the outside of all those
several
skyscrapers.
Several were. I want to say there were six or seven that actually were killed by falling glass from that storm.
That also date was the last hail fatality in the United States from that storm.
Wow.
You know what? We started with it. We never really got into it. What's our spring storm season going to be like? I mean, the lack of La Nina and all that, is it going to matter?
It will matter. I'm expecting an active spring. Of course, we look at notable dates. This for the Owosso tornado, if May 20th, if May 20th happens one time, it's been a bad storm season for us.
Sure.
So it's a little hard to measure, but I'm expecting it to be active.
We have several events coming up that should help you get ready for the spring storm season and your family as well. The first one is on April 7th. This is our Severe Weather Expo, Fox 23 and KRMG putting this on at Woodland Hills Mall from noon until 4 p.m. What can we expect of that?
It is going to be a really neat thing. We got this underway last year, and so all the meteorologists are there, of course, KRMG, and it's going to be a great opportunity for people to just come by, say hi to us, and talk severe weather face-to-face. We'll be doing a couple of little presentations, and you get to see our our H3 storm tracker truck, too. I believe that's
the Hummer
out there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's on April 7th. Again, Woodland Hills Mall from noon until 4. The next week, April 14th, is the KRMG and Fox 23 StormCon right here in our building in the KRMG Performance Center. That's from 9 a.m. until noon. And Skyler, we've changed the format this year. The last couple of years, this is our fourth year doing StormCon, fifth year. And the previous years, it's been a big formal presentation where we've had a room full of people in a stage and we're all up on stage talking to these people. We're doing it a little bit differently this time.
Yeah, this time you don't have to register or get a ticket or anything. You just come anytime you want between 9 and noon. There's going to be a bit of a schedule and you can come visit different workshops. And as you've been hearing on the air, we're going to give away, just keep listening for this opportunity, we're going to give away VIP tours with James. He's going to take you around and see the green screen, all the fun stuff in the TV studio.
Cool.
And here in the KRMG studios.
I haven't even done that yet. There are places in this building I haven't been yet. So can I go on the tour too?
You can. And you know what? We have two green screens too. So
they do.
Two for the price of one.
Wow. One's 2X for me.
Rick's going to be giving examples, and Rick and Russell are going to be talking about the equipment that we use when we're out chasing, because we are driving and we've got to use, you know, wireless hands-free kind of things.
Yep.
We're going to have a close-up look at the Fox 23 and KRMG Storm Tracker vehicles. So you kind of come and see what interests you, not just sit down and listen to everybody.
Yeah, it's pick and choose. We'll have the tornado model and the flood model there. I know the flood model is the National Weather Service's. Yeah. Is the tornado model theirs as well, or is that yours?
I'm not sure which one. We've got one, but the National Weather Service has a jumbo tornado model.
I think we're using yours.
We're using the little one, the mini tornado.
Yeah, we try not to let the big one out of the building because, you know, it may wreak some havoc.
If I'm a parent, I'm thinking this is a great thing to do with the kids on that Saturday morning, 9 a.m. to noon. That's the 14th of April right here at the KRMG Performance Studio, our fifth annual StormCon. And then on Monday, May 21st, Rick and I will be in Moore doing the KRMG Morning News live from Moore, Oklahoma, on the fifth anniversary of the tornado that struck there.
Yeah, and Russell will be there as well. Russell and I were some of the first two people that were there afterwards, at least from the Tulsa area. We're going to talk about what we saw. We were just looking at some pictures with James and some of the remarkable things that happened at that F5. And we're going to certainly have some people involved and on the show that they're talking about the rebuilding of Moore. That community has done an amazing job. I drove through it when I broadcast a game last year there, and it is unrecognizable. You can't tell us anything happened.
Yeah, and they've been... I mean, how many times has Moore had to rebuild?
How many is it, actually, James? Is it
three, at least three.
1999, 2003. Of course, 2003 was not an EF5, but an F5 in 99, the EF5 in 2013. Yeah. And if you look, 50 years before 99, they had no tornadoes.
Really? Interesting.
The dry line was west.
Maybe. Well, so that's Moore. We'll be live in the KRMG Morning News there on Monday. The actual anniversary is Sunday,
the 20th,
but we will be there Monday morning, the 21st, in Moore, Oklahoma. Again, Severe Weather Expo, Woodland Hills Mall on the 7th. That's Saturday from noon until 4. Then StormCon at the KRMG Performance Studios on the 14th, 9 a.m. to noon. And our live broadcast of the KRMG Morning News from Moore, Oklahoma, coming up on Monday, the 21st of May.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.